Welcome to the Legion Outriders podcast, your source for the latest Legion news, opinion, and analysis. And now, the Outriders.
Hello, Outriders! We are back with another episode. It's me, Matt, and next to me is you, Dan.
Me, Dan?
That's you. And also, we are joined by Keegan today. Keegan, welcome aboard. How's it going, bud?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
We've talked to Keegan before. You might know him from Legion 99 and Six Up Supply. I hope you do know him from that by now. But yeah, he's going to be joining us on the show today, kicking back as we talk about, we got a myriad of topics to talk about, mostly about cookie cake.
Oh, we're still on that.
Yeah. oh, sorry. You don't like it when they flip the script on you, huh?
Yes. My lightning round question writing while being hungover comes back to bite me.
Well, for those that might be listeners, me and Dan got to join him. He was very kind to invite us on, and we had a great time recording with him. So it only seemed like the right neighborly thing. And also, Keegan's just a really good dude, so I like hanging out and chatting with him. Yeah, I know. That's the extent of my petting you on the head. I don't know. What, patting him on the back? Was it building him up? Let's go with that one. Okay. But anyways, so tonight, well, it's not quite tonight, it's today. The topics for this show, we're going to be talking about, Dan got some games in.
I got a game in.
You got a game in? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's cool.
A singular.
I've been painting, and I'm still not going to be done in time. But one of the other things we'll be talking about is tournament prep and how I screwed it up.
Already?
Getting ready. Well, I mean, I'm anticipating. I'm just peering into my immediate future. Mm-hmm. We've got a bunch of cards to look at that came out.
Yeah, right after we recorded.
Right after the last
literally
episode.
Literally right after we recorded.
You guys have had some time to marinate on this, but we're going to be discussing it and talking about where we see them fitting into our list, if at all. And just kind of having a good Star Wars hangout time, and because it is good Star Wars hangout time. What about some Star Wars news there, Dan?
Well, did you guys see the trailer for Visions?
I did.
Does that look amazing?
Keegan, did you see that?
I did. Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that. I'm not like a native anime lover. I don't like. I know some people who are really into all of it, but that trailer and understand the stories and the passion behind it, and then the little glimpses was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, yeah. You can tell that there's a lot of excitement from the animators going to be involved. They're just chomping at the bit, waiting to tell their own Star Wars story. So, yeah, I'm excited for that.
And I was reading the people in charge of making these were actually straight told, don't worry about canon, just make whatever story
just
you
make
want.
Something awesome. That's why we've got like a Star Wars bunny out there or something.
Yeah. So officially these won't be canon stories if for those canon junkies out there who, you know, even though Lucasfilm was like, everything after this point is going to be canon. It's not going to be, and that means you don't have to worry about it. It's just enjoy the content for the content's sake.
I wasn't worried about it. Keegan, were you worried about it?
Well, I was until you told me not to worry about it.
Oh, good. Now you're just inciting panic in the populace. Mm-hmm. Way to go. Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
where's your journalistic responsibility and integrity? You're fanning the flames.
You
of sedition.
You did not bring me on this podcast for my integrity, sir.
No, it's because you said yes.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Wait, that's how I got here.
Yeah.
But Visions will be out September 22nd, so not that far away.
Adjacent to that, mm-hmm. something El Jefe told me about, and I wasn't aware that apparently they're doing an anime series for not Cyberpunk, Blade Runner.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's a trailer out on YouTube for that. He sent me. It's I'm super excited for that. Mm. I mean, Star Wars, it's not going anywhere. Blade Runner, I'm always worried it's just going to kind of disappear over the horizon because, you know, there's a little bit of gap between the movies.
Yeah.
So keeping it in the public consciousness, I'm very excited for. Mm. Plus Dune. Mm. I don't know. Dune's exciting too. Yeah.
And I'm sure all of you out there have always wanted a Dave Filoni action figure.
I do. I really do. Yeah, yep. It's going to be an exclusive for the Hasbro Pulse this year, right?
Right. So, yes, Hasbro announced that they will be doing Trapper Wolf. Mm. Dave Filoni's character from Mandalorian is a Black Series figure.
Are you sure it's not Wolf Trapper?
Wolf Trapper. Unfortunately, when they show the figure, I'm like, where is the cowboy hat?
Oh, that
he's got.
Cool.
I mean, he's got his X-Wing. It's his X-Wing pilot.
Right,
decor, right. So, and he's got his Wolf logos on his helmet.
That's cool.
But yeah, I'm like, I'm waiting for the mod, once this goes out there, for like the custom and modder people to 3D print or mold
hat. Hey, Keegan, we might have identified something else for 6-Up Supply to get in on. You know, 3D printing cowboy hats for Filoni action figures.
Well, the market only increases because I think they can be dual used for Cat Bane.
In a cowboy hat?
I mean, just have to scale it, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on what kind of cowboy hat. What style of hat would you say Cad Bane has?
Oh, am I going to...
It's like a stalker or something?
I don't know
like
the name
of
the style, but the first thing jumps to my head is like the Carmen Sandiego hat.
Okay.
Have you ever seen them in the room together?
No.
That's the best way to hide is in plain sight as a bounty hunter.
Exactly.
I think I just lost all my street cred with Southwest United States haberdasheries.
Wait, you had street cred with them? How does one get involved in Southwest haberdasheries?
How does one get involved with haberdashery in general? I don't know.
Bigger question, why are they listening to this podcast to evaluate street cred?
They could have hobbies too.
Yeah.
How dare you gatekeep what they can listen to? I will be getting my Trapper Wolf action figure if I can. Do you do the Black Series collections at all, Keegs?
I don't yet, although I did pre-order. There's a Dark Saber from something that was like a Black Saber.
Oh yes. They announced that a couple months ago.
Yeah, that got enough of my attention. I think most of the time and money that would go into that goes into either the Legion hobby or my children, who just seem to be dead.
Children are such a money sink.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Maybe they'll get cheaper in a few years, and I can start gathering that. But I'm also at the upper bounds of limits of acceptable display space for hobbies with my wife. So I need to factor that piece in.
Yeah, I'm on the cusp of getting a new display bookshelf thing because I've got a fair amount, but I can't display it at all. It's just kind of piled up on the. Dan sees it every time he comes in here. It's just kind of piled up, so I don't get to enjoy. But I will definitely. What else we got, Dan?
That's it for the Star Wars news.
Oh, okay. Wait, that's it? Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't there something else? No, I guess not. No. Oh, we did have more words, rumblings about Southern California Open at the end of October. I guess tickets are supposed to be going on sale here imminently, so stay tuned. I'm definitely planning. Keegs, you were going to go to that one too, right?
I'm planning on it, yeah. Conditions pending. California seems to be reacting to things happening this week. But hopefully by October, things are a lot more rational.
I hope so too. Dan, what about yourself?
Unlikely.
Unlikely. Oh, that's right, because you're going to be going places.
Yeah, it's not October, but in August we're going to Disney World, and that is going to be pretty much destroying a lot of my travel budget.
I mean, you got 2 months to reconstitute, buddy. You can ride out with me and then catch a Greyhound back.
How much do you charge to drive him?
But speaking of games played in person.
Oh, yeah. Wait. We talked about LSO, but we don't have any LVO news.
LVO news? I mean, it's 195 days. We're sub 200 days.
Oh, man. Less than 200 days.
I know. Like, the deadline's coming up real quick here.
Okay. But you said you had a game in.
Oh, yes. I did get a game in.
Have you gotten to play any games recently, Keegs?
I played in a tournament probably a month ago. I talked about it on Legion 9. I played a super casual game against Nima the other night. Totally screwing around. Nothing really exciting to talk about. I'm not good at Vader yet.
Fair enough. But we had our casual cantina meetup at the FLGS this last week.
Yeah.
I sat around and watched you and, Jeff. We had a lot of really good turnout. Yeah.
12 players turn out. That was actually a high for us for a while. It's been a while since we've had that many players out. We I had to go out and ask one of the workers there. I'm like, hey, can we get some more tables?
Yeah.
It was so cool. I had to borrow some table space. Luckily, I don't think any 40K players showed up that day, so we were able to kind of
That's supposed to be the Legion weekend, so there shouldn't be too much else going on.
Yeah, but they were also doing their pre-release for Magic, so They were distracted, so they're just like, oh, just take those tables over there. That's fine. So yep. we did.
Go. Here's some crayons. Go color.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you were playing. I was painting like crazy.
Yeah.
And I've still got some more painting to go before I get on a plane this Friday. So clock is a tick, tick, ticking, as I knew it would be, because I never respond to anything other than a deadline. So.
But I got to play with the gentleman that you played the last Cantina event, Taylor.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Nice guy. Super.
He's
nice
a
guy.
Really nice guy. Yeah, it was a really interesting match too, because it was a recover, disarray, and limited viz.
Oh,
yeah. So it was like,
huh,
really crazy all over the place. But we both actually enjoyed it greatly because of our lists.
Uh-huh.
So of course, I was running my infiltrate. I didn't, you know, 3-4 shore that we talked that I've talked about more than a few times on here.
At least twice.
Yeah, at least twice. And he was running a rebel officer Luke with force lift, which was interesting.
Oh, so you allowed him to try out the new cards.
Oh yeah, yeah. R2 and 3PO and AA5 Wookiees with the shield Wookiee and AT-RT, a rebel with a shotgun, a rebel with an R5, and two naked rebel troopers.
Sorry,
so it was a little bit of
my brain's catching up to all of that.
Yeah.
What you just said.
So it was like, yeah, it was a little bit of rebel salad.
No kidding.
But
salad, scrambled rebels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But of course, it's one of my personal favorite, at least with this list, objectives, which is recover the supplies, because I literally just deploy Iden on the middle box, grab it, and run away, which is what I did the entire round, running from Wookiees, running from Luke, running from an AA-5. It was a great game. Basically, we deployed, because being disarray, he deployed his two boxes on one side of the board, I deployed mine on the other, and then we basically built the bulk of our forces across from where our opponents deployed their boxes. So
wow.
I swooped in on his boxes. He swooped in on mine. When the moment he put the AA-5 and Luke across from my boxes, I'm like, okay, I'm conceding this front.
That one's
and
yours. Just, yeah. You can have it.
And just grabbed Iden, ran to my bulk of my forces, and you know, hid the whole time. So force lift was interesting. He was basically carrying. Luke was trying to carry this barricade with him the entire time. Found out in the end, actually, it really didn't help him, at least not in this game.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't any range shots that Luke really needed to deflect himself from. And
you're like, what, Luke in heavy cover? Perpetually? Yeah. Guess who's not getting shot? Then again, maybe it did exactly what it was supposed to.
But I ended up going down to, we tied on objectives, because of course his R2 just walked across the side of the board unimpeded, because and we ended up being 3-3. I had three boxes, he had two boxes and R2. Came down to kill points. I won barely.
Oh, I was gonna say he's got some high point models there.
Only because Luke, after clearing the one side that I just threw a couple token people on, and where I had the bulk on the other side,
valuable heroes of the Empire.
Instead of just continuing to run Luke across the board, he waited a turn to put it in the AA5, put Luke in the AA5 to try and move it.
Oh, nice.
And he was not able to get enough distance to then move the A5, get Luke out, and then charge into one and kill one of my squads to win on kill
He's
points.
He's pretty fast on his own.
Yeah, and we spoke about this after the game. If he had not brought Force Lift and brought Burst of Speed, he would have been able to, because his last... his turn 6 play was Son of Skywalker, because he wanted to run in and just kill something to get kill points.
Yeah.
And if he had that plus Burst of Speed, he would have been able to make it into melee with one unit and then kill it, obviously, with I would assume Luke would kill it with two attacks, and then he would have won on that. So he was definitely not considering dropping Force Lift for Burst of Speed.
Nice. Wow. So, yeah, it sounds like a good close game.
No, it was a pretty fun game.
How did the AA5 do other than the kind of
he
the
had
it
the is the support AA5, so he had Shriv, medic, and no weapon.
So
he was using it literally just as a shuttle to ferry troops around. In our after game discussion, he also mentioned possibly just throwing the cheap gun on there.
Just to blink at something.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to use an AA-5 yet, Keegs?
I have not.
Or play against one?
I did play against one. I think I played a GTS game against one. They do work. I've definitely seen the effects of that unorthodox tactician throwing the aims out a lot. Really hit me up. And I played against one. Yeah, it was an off-Luke list that had a medic on there, and it was just infuriating. Just healing Luke back any points like every six rounds. So or ever wrap for Sakura.
Yeah.
Skywalker again? Come on. Jeez, yeah. We're just here. Hold on.
Yeah. Let's get I didn't have the impact to really work on the AA-5, and I just felt like it wasn't even worth shooting at Luke because he was just getting wounds back. So it was that was a frustrating game.
That's got to be demoralizing. I've been in a game like that where it was some Mandalorians in heavy cover, mm-hmm. and there was just medics that just kept healing them, and I was like, always seem to be one or two wounds away from wiping out the squad, and then boop boop boop, and they come back.
Yeah, I did still manage to make it a bit of a game. Kept my opponent on his toes a bit because I was running my crazy Vader, Kallus, Iden, Blatt Imperial Hero Hammer list, and I play it like I play Rebels, so I basically jammed Iden and Kallus in there into like unexpected melee and kept pressure on. He took it in the end, but it was a lot closer than he expected it to be.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, A5. I still
good presence.
Yeah, I bet. No, just a massive presence on the board. I still have yet to play with or against one. Mine's still in the box, so I don't have any immediate plans for it. I've got other armor issues right now. But yeah, awesome. Sounds like a great game, Dan. Yeah. Did you catch anything else that was going on?
We had tons of games going on. Yeah. I ran around and snapped a bunch of quick pictures, which I promptly forgot to upload to.
Yeah, so they'll probably be coming to a Facebook near you. Yeah. So
I should probably get on uploading those.
Legion Outriders Facebook.
Yep.
But yeah, so one of the things with hopefully everything coming out of lockdown and big tournaments starting up again, we mentioned that I'll be going to Lone Star Open this weekend, and I was just kind of looking around for topics to talk about this week, and Jeff suggested, well, I mean, you're preparing for a tournament after being, you know, on lockdown for so long, why don't you talk about the process and the things you're doing? And I'm sure you've done a lot of traveling for events too, Keeg. So if you hear anything in here you'd like to offer your insights or suggestions for, please feel free to jump in.
Absolutely.
But starting out, so yeah, I'll be traveling from Las Vegas out to Allen, Texas. And it looks like it's actually going to be a really nice venue, everything I've looked up on it. I've chatted a little bit with some of the guys in the Legion Discord that are going to be going, and I think we're set up to go to dinner Saturday night. So, hey, that's kind of the first tip. Reach out ahead of time. We've got so many great communications tools at our disposal, you know, especially if you're going to be new to an area. Like, I've been to Texas in years, so it's great to reach out ahead of time and, you know, make contact with some of the folks. But also, well, I was trying to wrangle it where I was going to be having a travel buddy so we could split some of the costs of, like, the room and Ubers and things like that. But unfortunately, sometimes long-distance travel can be a little bit tough. But that's definitely, if you can ever arrange it, I mean, it makes sense, right? Defray the costs, split it. You have more money to spend on models and, you know, less angry spouses for the amount of money you're spending. Luckily, I actually had a ticket voucher from Gen Con from when before they canceled all the flights and travel. So I just got, I think it cost me $20 to change the ticket over to this. So that actually helped quite a bit. But okay. So of course, going to a big tournament like that, you want to make sure you're familiar with the tournament docs, any kind of requirements they have. So this will be an official open event. So I know I'm going to have a 3-paint requirement, which is why I am still painting like crazy, because I wait to the last minute.
I mean, just prime one coat of paint and then wash, and
yeah,
you're pretty much
I will
set.
Definitely, I mean, like, at least have that. I was trying to see if I could get John to do the ATRT, but he's up to his necks in commissions right now because he painted my other ATRT and I'm not even sure how to attack it, so I'm gonna do the minimum for that one. I'm trying to get the other ones to at least tabletop quality, and then some quick snow basing because I'm doing like a Hoth theme on mine. It should be pretty quick though, and I think I'll be able to finish it up maybe Friday night while I'm waiting in the hotel room. I'll be doing the last minute touches on that. But
remember, if you're spray priming, well ventilated area.
Yeah everything's fully primed now. I think I've only got 4 completely unpainted models at this point. Everything else is the last unit of veterans I was doing is halfway through, so I need to go through and do the pants and the goggles, because that's how I'm doing my unit differentiations. They got those cool goggles, so there's gonna be like red, blue, and green for the different squads. Because I'm one of those guys that doesn't like painting the bands around the bases.
Same here. I always try to put a color variation on the actual model.
You did yours in the recesses because you got the premium bases, right?
That was an earlier color standard. Yes, I keep changing my painting standard.
Okay. What do you do for that, Keegs?
I actually am a ring around the base kind of color. I do try to use subtler colors that won't like completely sharp jump out. I'm not using like any bright reds or oranges.
Doesn't look like a Yahtzee game board.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll use.
Or sorry. I guess Yahtzee. Nice. Sorry.
I use greens, browns, darker reds, darker blues around the bases.
Okay.
In general, and I also I do depending on what I'm doing. Rebels have a decent, you know, I like the idea that they're ragtag. So my rebel trooper squads are different distinctions. I'll also sometimes, if I want to keep the uniforms constant or relatively constant, like for my veterans, I've got consistency of how they're painted. They're kind of in a desert theme that matches my FD turret. Mm-hmm. I put slightly different basing materials on. So like I have a darker brown dirt and scrub basing on one squad and a lighter brown on the other. For the clone army I just painted up, I did all my phase ones in kind of just straight traditional black and white, you know, fresh out of the tube clones for Geonosis. And I'm doing a universal kind of Geonosis base. So I need to do the rings to differentiate between the individual units, but I did do my phase twos in a 312th company, the Ahsoka scheme.
Cool.
I've got that cool like helmet, orange and blue factor in there. So phase twos, phase ones are easy to distinguish, and then got to look at the ring around the base within those for me. So those are the kind of ways that I do it.
Yeah, I like the idea of having the much more subtle, the darker tone, maybe like earth tones or something, or taupe. People say taupe is soothing. I think that's a great idea. I might steal that for my Empire when I go back and redo that, because it's a little bit tougher. Like, you can do the goggles on the veterans, but Stormtroopers, it's like, it's black, it's white, the end.
Unless you're a crazy guy like me who is still in the process of swapping out all my Stormtroopers for upgrade pack Stormtroopers, and you have that pauldron you can work with, so that's...
Not everybody gets to wear the pauldron, but... okay, so following on with that, transportation for your army. You might have spent quite a bit of time painting and caring for these very fragile plastic miniatures, and you want to make sure they arrive unscathed, especially. You know, I am super abusive at the local things. Like, literally, I've got a little brown plastic box that I just throw my stuff in, because plastic figures tend not to chip. This is something I learned from Warhammer, and it seems to carry through on this. I just don't care. Traveling, though, because I'm going to be going via air, I am definitely busting out one of my old,
battle foam.
Battle foam, thank you, jeez. Cases that's got the foam inserts. I'm going to cut out some spaces for the, especially the flying stands on my T-47s. Make sure those are nested okay. The little figures, I'm bringing some glue, which was going to be my next tip. Bring some glue, because there's probably going to be some breakage either during the vent before, or somebody nearby you is going to need some help. So bring some glue. But hopefully I'm going to, you know, nestle that into my checked luggage, because it's not going to be, I don't think I'm going to have enough room in my carry-on. Or else, maybe, I'm still going to try to make that work so I can have it with me.
Yeah, I was going to say, if at all, you can make it in your carry-on. That's generally a better idea.
I think I've got a small enough bag.
Yeah, because there's enough videos out there of luggage handlers.
Literally
yeeting things across.
It's like they're doing an overhanded throw at the soccer game, putting it back in play.
Yep. But I mean, on the topic of repair kits, I bring, in addition to super glue, and the Ultra Gel super glue is great for repairs, because you want to be able to spot hold it. I also bring a little pack of toothpicks. Here's my, and of course this might come from my, you know, watchmaking experience.
That was
going to
be my question.
Yes, I think that would be.
So I take it, and of course we all have a million of those plastic baggies from all the, you know, kits we bought. We also have a pile of those. That's my repair kit, is the super glue, toothpicks, and the baggies. I put a blob of the super glue on the baggie on the table, and then use the toothpick to pick up blobs of super glue and apply it strategically in specific places.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
So if you don't want to have, you know, a big blob on there and you put the part on it and just, you know, mushrooms out the sides and splorches out.
Yeah, it doesn't look real good.
Yeah, it doesn't look real good. So that's my pro repair tip. or even if you're, you know, painting or sorry, gluing your regular models together, it's good for that, you know, precise application of glue.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just blob it on there.
Okay.
No, I'm not bringing toothpicks. But the great tip. Anything that goes into your travel repair kit?
I have actually been way too bold and not brought a real full repair kit. I think throwing some super glue in is going to be something I'm going to do. And now I'll add some toothpicks.
There you go. Yeah. Well, yeah. Pro tips.
I've been pretty lucky so far as not having damage, but I've definitely seen a lot of the, hey, does anyone have any super glue?
Some of the bigger events too, I know that there's, you know, guys that'll be like mobile repair, and that's what they're there for, is like, oh, here, let me, you know, touch it up. They'll even bring like paints to, you know, blend it in. It's been pretty crazy.
Kind of business opportunity do we have
here? I mean, I'm sure they probably, you know, if you want to tip them or sort of buy them a beer or something, they'd be happy with that. But it's kind of a cool little niche in the community and a great way to support your fellow players. But okay, also while you're preparing, make sure you have the most recent cards. This is something I'm going through right now. It's like, oh, some of these cards have been updated and the information on them is not 100% accurate. So if I'm trying to, you know, refer to this, I might want to make sure I've got the most recent one, including like the Mark II Blaster, which has an extra health now.
Yeah, you might remember that. That might come in handy during.
Yeah,
game,
I'm probably I'm gonna go through and like use my those puffy glitter pens to write in the right information on my cards.
You wound me, sir.
Having the most. At least on like your phone, or if you got like an iPad or something you're bringing with you, the most updated rules reference guide. Maybe some of the critical rules your army uses, just for quick reference, especially if there's been a change in there, because not everybody may be up on what's going on, so you can be like, oh, here, you know, I'm not trying to cheese you, this is what happened, here
and
it is.
Save the AMG rules forum to your favorites as well.
So yes, have that on yes, exactly. Yeah, if it's going to be one of those ones they covered. But so this is one I struggle with because it's bit me in the butt before. Triple check. Don't double check. Triple check. You've got every single model you need. I had an event a couple years ago when I was living in the UK, and it was a Warhammer Fantasy Battles event. But I had everything packed the night before, ready to go. We were leaving our driving. It was a two-hour drive to go to the venue. And while I was waiting for my buddy, I went and grabbed my little Empire steam tank. And I was like, oh, here, let me do, because it was, again, the 0 hour, so I was still painting. And I was like, okay, boop, 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 you know, do this. Went and got some coffee. My friend showed up. And I picked up my bag and I left, leaving my steam tank on the coffee table. They, of course, let me proxy with a whiteboard eraser. But I got so many comments that day. So maybe make sure you keep all of your stuff together in the same place and don't want to do what I do, or check your paint table if it's separate from where your army is to make sure you've got everything with you, because, man, who'd hate to show up without an AT-ST if that's going to be, you know, a part of your list.
Yeah, well, I would hope you wouldn't forget something that large.
Steam tank wasn't small.
True. But more specific to Legion, of course, the cards are a legal requirement as well.
So that's a fair
sure
point.
That you
yeah.
do have all of your cards out as well.
Yeah, all your upgrades, all that kind of stuff, out on display, all that kind of thing. Also, one of the things I like to do, and some places require this, but have extra copies of your list. I just assume however many people I'm playing, I'm going to have one plus however many rounds is going to be, just so I can hand them the list. Because some people, they like to keep battle logs, and you're like, oh yeah, you can have that one, you know, so you can reference to it. Or if you're playing against a podcaster and they like to remember the list, you know, write your name on it, and it helps them out a lot.
Oh yes.
And if you didn't have a good game, you can just take it back and say, no. Forget you played. No, of course not.
Now, of course, remember because of course, when you print out from the list builders out there, if you do have your battle cards saved in there, your battle deck, your command hand, make a copy that doesn't have that info, because that is hidden info.
I know Tabletop Admiral. I think they've got a little checkbox for it, so they just automatically hide it, and then you print out the one, so they're like, nice command hand.
And
bud.
Of course, yes, you do need one complete set for the judge as well.
Right. So, yes, and that goes back to the checking the rules for the tournament to make sure you have everything you need to supply to them.
The nice thing about the Frontline Gaming is they basically standardize their rules across all their events. So if you're going to multiple of their events, It's pretty much the same plan for the year,
and I don't really have to think about it because I know it's a standardized kind of check-in procedure and all that. So, I mean, I'll still double check because who knows if things have changed. But that'll be this week as part of my final prep. When arriving at the venue, be a little bit early. Plan to be a little bit early because sometimes things get slowed down, traffic happens, you might have forgotten a steam tank on the paint, but you might need to turn around, go back and get it. But also being a little bit early can be really helpful, especially if the organizers, you know, they're always going to be running around like crazy trying to get things set up for the day. There's always a million last minute things to do. You could be the guy that jumps in and helps out and help save the day, so...
Or even purely depending on the venue, just finding where the hall is that you're supposed
to
play.
That's true, too. Yeah, if you've never been there before, it could be a little bit of pathfinding needing to happen.
Yeah, I mean, specifically with LVO, trying to navigate these casinos. These casinos are not intended or designed to be easily navigated.
That's absolutely true. The psychology is astounding and terrifying.
Right. So, and of course, double check on the Discord, because Discord does have sub channels for each event, and people are usually posting literally a photo like turn left at this corner, turn right. So.
Yeah, and if you're traveling in a group, just try to keep a heads up on it where everybody is. Mm-hmm. If Keegan is traveling with you, make sure to go check out the Keno tables. He is a Keno fiend. What is your game of choice?
Craps, actually.
Craps! Yeah, actually, Craps is pretty good. I think that's statistically one of the best games to play. It's got the best odds. Not great odds, but still better than most.
I like how you're looking at me as like, are you crunching the numbers?
I was waiting for you to jump in there.
But no, as a Vegas local, I know better than to
I think we've talked about this. Yeah. Neither of us really gamble. But, I think the last time I gambled, it was craps and did okay. Anyways.
For some reason, I like Legion. It's the social, social experience.
Yeah. Yes. One of the other things I like to bring with me is a bit of pen and paper. And definitely take pictures. It's cool to share.
Yeah, no, definitely document your experience, not only your opponents and what they're playing if they don't have a list.
Plus, if questions come up and you don't want to slow down the game, you can always make a note to check later and then, get your opponent's name, all that kind of stuff. It's just nice to have available. Of course, most people have, some sort of, notepad app on their phone. But I just like the physical, having a pen, having a paper, and I can just, make, notes and edits as I go. But just one of those things I like to do. Shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Most venues require you to wear shoes. So wouldn't you want to wear comfortable shoes? That's something I found last month's event at the FLGS. I actually did two rounds, and by the end of it, my dogs were barking. And I was like, okay, so these little tennis shoes I've got are great for walking around the neighborhood. Standing on them for 6 or 7 hours at the end of the day, I was like, okay, I've actually got some new shoes coming in that are going to be hopefully super comfortable that I'm taking with me. So you may not always have, a chair available at the table, but you probably still will be doing a bunch of jumping up and moving around. And with 3+ rounds possible in a day, it can you get a lot of wear and tear, plus just treading the hall, getting back and forth to the room. Bring comfortable shoes, extra socks. That seems to be like an armed forces thing. Always bring extra socks. How many socks did you pack on when you're rucking there, Keegs?
One more pair than I thought I would need.
That seems to be it. Yeah, you never know when you're gonna step in a puddle or.
And I mean, if you do have a chair at your table, which most of these events do, Frontline Gaming is pretty good about that. Take every opportunity you can to sit while your opponent's gathering their dice or reading something or moving
Dan. I'm advanced at sitting, so. leading into that, maybe this is just my old man showing, but I've got a mobile pharmacy I always bring with me
drugs,
Tums, ibuprofen, caffeine pills. Oh man, yeah, that's usually, and I'll hand them out if people are struggling or whatnot, but I like to have a little cachet of pharmaceutical, especially for those long days. Sometimes those headaches from the night before at the bar.
Oh yeah, or the day of the bar.
Or day of, yeah.
Last year, I added baby powder to that mix too for
baby powder. Oh, yeah. That's advanced.
Okay. Or standing. Judging LBO last year, I think I walked 7 miles in a day in that room. So I had to go back to, you mentioned rucking, I had to go back to those skills.
Well, I mean, the layout last LVO was literally all tables were in a straight line.
Just in a long line, yeah. So yeah. Treading the hall back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. So that if you're going to be moving around a lot in one of the judge or staff roles, or even that kind of standing up and just being there, that kind of stuff can be a factor.
Yeah. Okay, and last tip I have, and this is just kind of a general life travel tip, have a little bit of cash on you. It's always good. If they have a cash bar there, you can always make more friends that way, but it's just generally a good idea. Just have a little bit of cash. It doesn't have to be a bunch, but still, it's just one of those useful things.
And,
but,
and bribes for judges?
It was implied. Ah, you're just stepping all over. Oh, excuse me, Judge. It looks like you dropped your $10 bill right there. Really? I'm pretty sure it was a 20.
Everyone knows the effect of bribes for judges are using the cash at the bar to buy them drinks.
Yeah, I mean, there it is. Yeah, absolutely. But anyways, any other tips, advice you guys could think of to add to that list?
The one thing that I definitely learned after my first couple events was practice packing and unpacking your army.
Oh,
quickly. So figure out, like, because you're going to be, in a 3 or 4 game day, you're going to be having to do that and move. And we often don't have a ton of time between games.
Right.
So you're going to want to preserve that. So figure out how you're going to have there's transporting from your home to the event, maybe via air. But then I rearrange my battle foam pack so that I can put minis on the magna rack on top. Just on and off, and then I've got token packing takes forever if you haven't practiced it, things like that. So thinking about that quick move between tables so that you don't waste time, don't eat up your next game time getting to that next one.
So if you see Keegan out there with a blindfold on, acting like he's field stripping his M16 with his battle foam bags, you know what's going on.
You mean you don't do that, Matt?
No, I was Air Force. Come on.
Okay, sure.
Get out of here. I'd be losing springs everywhere. Tokens, you know.
Matt just finds a Marine to follow him around and help him out with that.
And kind of the inverse of what you said of make sure you bring everything. Also go through your kit and don't bring things you don't really need.
That's right. A fair point. Yeah, sometimes being able to access something quickly because you haven't overcluttered it is a really good way to speed up the game.
I have gone to events where my opponent is setting up their cards on their side of the table and they're whipping out their full binder of everything and just like trying to find, wait, where's that upgrade? Where's this upgrade? Like,
oh, goodness, yeah.
Yeah, break out your stuff before you're taking up valuable bag space if you're bringing models you don't need. I mean, yes, if you're proxying, a custom model, bring the original. Yes, I mean, it may be good to have a backup or something that breaks a lot. But, just trim your to exactly what you need. I mean, you don't need all those, mine tokens for if you're not bringing a saboteur,
bring the tokens that make sense for your battle deck and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, don't bring, every single objective. Like if you have, don't bring evaporator models if you don't have VAPs in your deck. If your opponent has VAPs in their deck, they should have evaporator models you can use.
Okay.
So, don't clutter up your stuff with stuff you're not going to use.
Well, some great tips, guys. Thanks for adding in there. Okay, we're going to take, we went a little bit long on the A section here, but we're going to take a little break and come back, and we're going to talk about some Wookiee cards and some other goodness, some force powers and all that. Be right back. Hey, guys. Matt here to tell you about our friends over at 6-Up Supply. If you're like me and don't have access to your own 3D printers, 6-Up Supply has you covered with a whole suite of printing services to bring those awesome files to life. The Outriders are proud to be partnered with 6-Up, and you could find special themed terrain, gear, and tokens with a big discount for Patreon members in the Outrider Central section of the website. And that's not all. You can also get terrain bases, game supplies, tools, LED kits, and more. Stuff is being added all the time. So stop by the number 6upsupply.com and use coupon code OUTRIDER to save 10% on your next order and let them help you up your game.
You are receiving the Legion Outriders podcast. Ending the transmission now would be most unfortunate. And now, the Outriders.
Welcome back, Outriders. We continue now with, well, the cards we missed by like a day or two from the last episode, so yeah. Now we get to talk about them.
I thought we had vacuumed all this hair out of the carpet already, but the Wookiees...
No, the Wookiees are back. They never leave. That's the thing. You let them in once, and they clean out the fridge and just expect you to refill it. And just, yeah, it's just one of those problems. Oh, you've got Wookiees. I'm sorry to hear that.
So before we begin in the Wookiees, I have a correction to make.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Unfortunately, I have to apologize to John, who's not with us this cast, but I did unfortunately correct him incorrectly.
Did he die? No. Corrections to John,
correction
who was
to
no
John,
longer with us.
Who's no longer with us. No, okay. So when we were going over Chewbacca last episode, he stated that, you know, his guardian only goes to commanders, and I corrected him saying, no, it doesn't. Actually, yes, it does. The little commander icon is in the sentence there, and I totally had missed it. So,
well, if he was still with us, I'm yes. sure he'd acknowledge it gratefully and say, thank you, Dan. That was yes. That was big of you.
our fans on our Discord were quick to correct me on that. So
oh, that's thank good. You okay, that, thank you guys. So. And of course, as always, thank you to our Patreon supporters. Yes. And thanks for stopping by the Discord.
So yeah, I will try not to cause any errors reading these cards.
Well, it should be pretty easy. But okay, starting us off, we've got Force Lift, 5 points. It's a tappable ability, obviously a force upgrade. When you deploy, you may place a barricade at range 1. Action, choose a barricade at range 1 and move it to within range 1 and height 1 of its current position. So you just get to, well, you were saying during
yeah.
your game.
Yeah, so I played against someone trying this. The first few rounds, of course, because Luke is running in towards the battle, he was literally just leapfrogging. You know, he'd move forward, move the barricade forward, he'd move forward, move the barricade forward to try and position it. In our particular game, it wasn't very pivotal or did not really affect the battlefield at all, but I can't let that one sample size really, you know, say that it's not that useful. Mm-hmm. I could see where it could be clutch in a certain situation, but... the only thing we didn't have when we played this, because it did come up both in our Discord and in person, it hasn't been clarified in the RRG yet what happens if you try and move a barricade onto a trooper squad, whether or not that's legal, whether or not that displaces. That hasn't been clarified yet. So we played that you could not, because it has not been defined yet.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, what are you expecting, like a Force Unleashed kind of thing? Or they're just, all fly everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, just chucking stuff into trooper squads is...
I think it'd be a little bit more than five points at that point.
Yeah, true. And hey, I mean, if you're displacing them and your opponent gets to recohese, you just gave them free cover, basically, because they just cohese behind the barricade you just threw at them.
That's a good point. So, yeah. Kate, what do you think about it?
I think it's cool. It's the first time we've had something that really, you know, continues to affect the battlefield in the mid-game. I think we are going to get an FAQ on this before it actually releases, because in addition to just like throwing a barricade at people, which is a thematically cool thing, though gameplay questionable. There's a couple of edge cases I've heard about, things like force lifting barricades to completely block off objectives and other
interesting
things like that. Or moving, like can you move a KP objective or move a payload target away? I think I expect we'll get an FAQ that clarify some of those things to make for fun yet still a powerful card. So
yeah, you think you make a fun, flavorful, you know, ability, and then the community is like, but what if? Like, what oh if? My gosh, I didn't
how fast can I break this? But
yeah, right.
I like it. It's, you know, hey, more reason to paint barricades.
I know it'll be super corner case. You mean barricades. Corner case scenario. I want to be able to pull your ISF, like, just pull the cover off of them and then shoot the crap out of them.
I mean, that is a potential use for this, is not only moving cover to benefit you, but also denying cover from your opponent.
But then again, I've got to be at range 1 of your ISF.
I mean, if you're Luke, you're trying to get there anyway.
That's a fair point. Yeah. Trying to think through the optimal order of activations there. I guess you've got two squads back there.
It is a free.
You can remove, you can charge in, probably kill one squad, and then have somebody else shoot the remaining one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a free action, and the gentleman I was playing with, Taylor, he was using, I mean, for the first two rounds or so, as Luke was running into the fray, he was using his Master of Force just to refresh it.
Yeah.
Since it was the only thing he was using.
Oh, he was doing Op Luke.
Yeah, Op Luke.
Okay, I was kind of curious how that worked out, but... All right, makes sense. Burst of Speed.
Yes, I think this is going to be impact the most one of the most impactful cards in this set.
Tasty. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Empire. Hey, is Empire happy about this one?
Some early.
Some you can't early just be happy, yes. Can you? You gotta couch it. You gotta put an asterisk.
I mean, well,
it's just such an unfamiliar emotion. They don't.
It is.
They don't know.
They are so deep in the dark side now.
Well, yes, this card has caused salt by saying, "Yay, we could use this," but now it pretty much invalidates the Vader copter because the Vader can just get there on his own. So people are like, "Why take the LAT
there's
now?"
There's no pleasing you, Mr.
Yeah,
Powers.
Yeah, I don't know because I think this Vader copter is super fun.
There you go. Okay, well, why don't you, Keegs, you want to take this one for us? You want to read us through Burst of Speed?
Sure, Burst of Speed, Force Power, no Dark Side, Light Side restriction, 3 points. It is an, not exhaust, let's discard. It's got the X on it, so you have to throw mm-hmm. it, but you know, only one time use. At the start of your activation, treat your maximum speed as 3 until the end of the round. If you do, gain 1 immobilized token at the end of the round.
I love that.
Yeah, it's super powerful. 3 points. You know, four slots are still hyper competitive, but this one, I think this one goes right up near the top in a lot of your speed one force users.
Oh yeah, no, mobility has got to be one of the biggest concerns of the lightsaber wielders. So this will be fantastic. I mean, obviously the super slow like Vaders and Palpatines, that seems like an obvious choice for it. But I just the image of it, because this reminds me exactly of Phantom Menace.
Yep.
When, you know, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are zipping through and then they stop and they pause and they're like, oh, well, obviously that's the immobilized token they're dealing with.
Yep, and of course Vader, not only will he love it for normal use, but on his implacable round where he gets a second go. And since it says that you're until the end of the round,
yeah.
Your speed stays at 3.
Oh, snap. I didn't even think about that.
So when he gets his second go, only one action still, but you get an additional speed 3 move out of that.
Yeah, so he's got 8 inches of possible mobility with Relentless screwing around. So,
and just imagine just Vader just force sleeping up the field. Just blah! Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it really makes me want to re-examine. So I've been playing like super HQ minimal with the T-47s. I really want to go back and, you know, get some lightsabers back in some lists, maybe after SoCal Open or something.
Well, I'm hoping they'll do a card pack too, or release some more Force users, because there's only 2 copies of this in the Yoda box. And this is going to be obviously for casual play, just proxy it. It's fine.
Yeah.
But for these Frontline Gaming and other events that are going to require cards to be there, this is going to be a super high-demand card.
Yeah.
I can't see any of the third-party resellers on eBay or anything having any of these in stock for a while, because they're just going to be gone.
For real.
Yeah.
It just means the demand's going to be up there, or the price is going to be up. Get an Obi-Wan and a Burst of Speed card.
So are we going to invoke the old, I don't know if you remember from X-Wing, the old... Auto Thrusters expansion pack that you get a free Star Viper.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was it.
So
oh,
this
man.
Is the Burst of Speed expansion pack, and you get 2 Yodas.
Wow.
2 Yoda models.
That's amazing. Okay, so that leads us next into the next card. Dan, you want to take this one?
Into the Fray. So this is an interesting one, because we had no idea what...
No,
we had no speculation.
So guessing,
yeah, because the name doesn't really lead to... Oh, and speaking of which, our guesses were totally wrong. Don't hold us on what we said.
Yeah,
they know.
Yeah, this information dump of all of these cards so quickly completely invalidated an entire line of questioning in my Turn Zero lists lightning round. For those of you listening,
did they even consider your feelings on this?
Apparently not. I wrote to Luke Eddy, but he just hasn't written back yet.
You got to put it in the FAQ forums and say, hey, you know, do you have to release all this information as quickly?
I feel like there's ways you can approach Luke Eddy, definitely on Twitter. If you lead off with a picture of like a Lego kit of some kind,
okay.
You'll definitely get his attention. Then he might actually read what you're
saying. You thinking that's more effective than, you know, sending him a picture of, you know, see you sitting in the bushes outside of his house?
I think that would cause a different kind of reaction, but definitely attention. Yes.
Anyway, Into the Fray. Speaking of Into the Things, Into the Fray is a training upgrade. 4 points. When an enemy unit or range 1 activates, you may gain 1 surge token. So
4 points. Yeah,
this is interesting. I don't see the best candidate for this one. I mean, there's a lot of okay, it'll be good on IRG, it'll be good on
that's what Brothers. I was thinking was IRG.
But IRG, I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to Protector next,
because
they're already going to want Tenacity and they only have two slots.
Yeah, that's
so it's
point.
Like, which way do you do it? Do you go into the fray or do you do Protector? It's like,
I like this though, that you're having to make hard decisions, because if it's just obvious pick is obvious, then you know that's some of the flavor and the fun of list building.
Yeah, I mean, this just snapped in my brain. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
the Stabby Boy BXs.
Oh, could they use this? Yeah, Vibroswords. Yeah. I don't know. I have to go. It's been a long time since I played those.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, Wookiees are on the card. Wookiees are an interesting candidate because I definitely have had those white save rolls where I, you know, I roll surges and it would have been nice to have a surge once they're in there. And then, of course, Op Vader has the training slot. So having surge to
Yeah, and then that's another competitive deal. Like, do you want Tenacity? Do you want Endurance to cut down on all of his?
Yeah, you got
all of his suppression. Yeah, that's.
Do you really want your Op Vader within like range one though, where it's getting these surge tokens?
Well, he needs to stab things
with
his lightsaber. Yes.
The answer is yes.
That's
run
why
you... faster with burst of speed, so I can stab.
Yeah.
And if you're worried, you can do drop him with the copter and then burst of speed, and then you just have into the fray the entire rest of the game.
Oh, so fast. All right, last of these upgrade cards we've got is Protector. It is a tappable card for 5 points and a training upgrade slot. While using Guardian, you can cancel crit results as though they were hit results. During the end phase, ready this card. So,
Chewie is going to love this. And then get IRG.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, because you need to have Guardian already.
So
right.
Yep. Yeah, so it's Magna Guard, Chewie, IRG.
Right.
I'm probably forgetting another Guardian target,
Obi-Wan
is a big one for me.
Obi-Wan. Obviously. Okay, there we go.
And one of the reasons, the biggest reasons for Obi-Wan in this is because the way the language on here is, it's not canceling crit results. It's as though they were hit results, which means he can also spend a dodge.
So kind of to differentiate it between the situational awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I like that. I think that's kind of cool. Definitely I want to give it a try on the field. Obi-Wan, like you said, seems like an obvious choice. Chewie. And just about anybody with a training slot that you're not using with Guardian.
If you want to get really crazy, you throw a Steam Leader on someone and then throw this on like a Phase 2 or a Captain Trooper Squad. But that's a little bit too meta. Probably.
Yeah, that's a lot of moving parts that you have to line up correctly. I don't know how consistent that would be.
He'll do it. No.
The most exciting thing about this card for me is Ahsoka's on the art, which just confirms Ahsoka.
Oh yeah, I mean that's
is that how that works now?
I mean that's been the running conspiracy theory with this game since it came out. If it's on the card art, it's coming out soon.
It's only a matter of time. I mean,
yes,
we're getting there. I like the ready during the end phase, so you don't have to waste a ready action on it. I really like that mechanic. I want to see more of it these kind of abilities.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. We're going to have to channel our inner John to talk about the...
We don't have John to speak our Shriwook for us.
Yeah. So we've got the command cards for the Wookiee Chieftain. And I think I just went, so Keegan, it's your turn. You want to take us through that one pip?
Sure. Instead of trying to completely embarrass myself reading it, I believe that this is a Wookiee proverb that says something to the extent of many believe that a tree's strength is in its branches, but a true Wookiee knows that its strength is in its roots.
Wow. Yes. That's what that means. Why you'd be screaming a proverb while going into battle, I don't know. Don't take any wooden nickels!
There's lots of things Wookiees do that we just don't understand in battle. But one pip, one special forces or support unit.
Support.
Republic only. When a friendly unit is issued an order by a Wookiee commander or trooper unit, if it is wounded or one or more of its minis has been defeated, it gains one aim, one dodge, and one surge. So, order issued, single order, Three greed tokens going out for with a lot of potential targets for that have wounds, and it's got the same language as tenacity, so it's a wounded or a defeated. So.
Yeah, and I like that it opens up the opportunity during a game to say, "Oh, you done it now? You pissed him off."
fun additional bonus trick to this: if you put Seize the Initiative on Chewbacca, I think it's the one with the training slot, or Wookiee with the training slot, Wookiee Commander with the training slot, and then you use this card to issue the order to something else that qualifies, Seize the Initiative, issue an order to yourself, so you could actually get the effect twice on this.
Alright. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a pro tip there. with the support unit also, so I'm assuming this is going to be able to target that Fluttercraft.
Yeah, that's what we speculated last episode, was the reason they put support on there is because the Fluttercraft has been leaked, so... We're assuming it's going to fall into that.
That seems good to have an aim dodge and a surge on that one as well. Yeah. But I guess hopefully we'll get some more details on that. So probably tomorrow after we record.
Right. Yes.
They'll drop that. Ah! Okay. Dan, you're up.
I'm not going to try and pronounce it. It's the two pip.
Do you have a Wookiee proverb?
Actually, this does. And actually, people did figure out this is another Wookiee saying. And I am blanking on it right now. I believe it was something to the trees or something go up to the trees.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I think that's a safe bet.
This one is like get in, up to the trees, something like that.
Yep.
Wasn't that a Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves thing, too, when the village is getting ready? To the trees!
It was.
Why a spoon, brother?
Because I'm going to hurt more.
Now I want to see Kevin Costner play a Wookiee. Yeah.
That would work.
I mean, my boat, you know. It'll be the most monotone Wookiee out there.
two pip, targeting two troopers, Republic only. Each friendly Wookiee trooper that is issued an order by a commander Wookiee trooper gains Agile 1.
So I like that a lot.
Yeah, so just rush in with those Battle Shield melee Wookiees and get some dodge tokens while you're at it.
Yeah. Really great to set up all those units with duelists.
Trouble I see here, though, and the only thing I don't like, is it doesn't give them an initial dodge.
So you have to wait for them to activate and move to gain the dodge?
Or have somebody hand them out, like Leia or Rebel Officer. I would like to see them with that. I mean, still really cool ability, but you gotta. It's not going to be like turn one. Okay, they're good. I know they're good to go. You gotta set it up too.
Yeah, I feel like this is the one where they are in a two move charge range, and you've got maybe into something with Fierce, and you've got that duelist keyword. So you want to get the dodges and then just get them into. They'll be in melee for the round with two dodges. So.
Yeah.
And I believe this one, this one and the three pip both say the targets have to be Wookiee troopers and the commander has to be a Wookiee commander, whereas the one pip was just friendly unit. So the one pip's a little more flexible for going on to, say, a clone unit or something else.
Yeah. Okay. So the last command card, of course, is a three pip, and it is pronounced... Which actually translates to...
Well, this actually does not have a translation. It's
But it does. It's... I am fluent in Shriwook. I've been learning from John. Mm-hmm. And what it says is, "Hey, that's what I gave you last year for Life Day." And it pisses him off, and there's a big fight. So the Wookiees hate Life Day regiftings. So this one is for three troopers, Republic only. Each friendly Wookiee trooper unit that is issued an order by a commander Wookiee trooper unit gains Demoralize 1. That seems fun. Because it's again playing into the let's push them forward, get them in there as close as we can to the enemy. And that seems to be the theme with the Wookiees, is we're getting a lot of that. Be close to the enemies. Get good things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have talked in the past, though, how suppression isn't really as effective.
Not as effective, but still. What if people are not prepared for it as much as you are?
I think this one, if you're running a Wookiee-heavy Republic list where you have three, this is just a better assault. Especially, I tend to play three pips earlier in the game, but if I've rotated another card through and... it's the charge turn or the just getting in the mix turn, this is a great little extra icing on the cake.
Yeah. Because demoralize happens what, at range one, range two?
It's range one.
Yeah. So if you've got three units like right next to each other, that can just be boom, boom, boom. There you go. You've got three on you now.
Yeah, it's inverse inspire.
Right.
Which, I mean, the other card that has demoralize.
It's range one to two. So it's
range one to two. Yeah. Okay, so you got a little more flexibility. Yeah. I don't know. I think that could be a lot of fun. But like you said, it is a strictly better assault. Well, yes. If you've got three units of Wookiees.
Yes. Yeah. But Chieftain Chewbacca or Chieftain two Wookiees, and there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I think this is pretty cool. Definitely lots of that Wookiee flavor.
Yes.
And it seems in line with the other generic, maybe a little bit better. What do you think than the other generic?
I mean, it's not super impactful. Like you play this turn and the whole game is
this
turned
is
on
the game. Head. Yeah.
I mean, just like the other generics on there, it's not like, I mean, some of the here's my Imperial slant again. I mean, Coordinated Fire is an amazing 3-pip.
Sure.
For generic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally blanking on the Republic 3-pip right now.
Attack of the Clones.
That one is support or whatever it is. The heavy armor gives Inspire or something.
Sorry, Republic or Rebel?
The Republic.
Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
So three clone troopers and they get to share some.
Okay, so that's right in line with that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I like these. Overall, very, very fun cards. I think that we're going to be seeing out on the table before too long. But we're running just a little. Actually, we're doing okay on time.
Yeah.
But any other final thoughts on these?
I mean, they're great flavor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, people are going to be running the Wookiee armies just because they're Wookiee armies.
Yeah.
But everybody's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Keegan, you going to be making room for these guys in your lists?
Yeah, I'm going to paint out. I'm probably going to. Yeah, I definitely am. I think I pre-ordered a couple boxes of these guys already. I'm looking forward. I'm also looking forward to the opportunity for list diversity in the Republic. I think that there's enough stuff coming out in here that for those willing to go down to like, okay, I'll just take three naked phase ones or phase twos. As my core requirement, and everything else is going to be Wookiees. I think there's some cool stuff to have in there.
Awesome.
I mean, but will it be enough to pull people off the clone trooper keyword? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Guess we'll find out.
Yeah. You always have your holdouts.
A few more nerfs, that'll do for them. But anyways, Keegan, thank you again for so much for joining us today. It was great having you. Where can people find you out in the world? What's your address?
Not going to give that to you here, folks. But we, you guys are wonderful partners for Six Up Supply. Always SixUpSupply.com. We have a Facebook and Instagram presence as well to see some of our new stuff. We've been on a little bit of slowdown for the summer vacation, but we've got some cool stuff coming out soon as we get back to real work. And then, of course, Legion 99 on wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a co-host there, and I also host the mini episodes on that same stream of Turn Zero Lists. And finally, if any of your audience ever wants to be on Turn Zero Lists, I love talking to the diverse Legion community and spend 15-20 minutes breaking down what your favorite list is right now, understanding it and sharing it with everyone. So reach out to me on Discord's probably best, Metrokin on the Discord, and we'll set it up.
Cool. Dan, how about you?
Well, I'm, of course, anywhere the Legion Outriders podcast on your favorite podcast. Oh, you're listening to that right now. So you're already
congratulations. Yes. You did it.
But I do float around the Discord, and of course I do float around your Twitch streams.
Yes, thank you. And you can find me streaming on Twitch at Captain_Archer. Definitely stop by the Facebook page for Legion Outriders, and if you are enjoying the podcast, give us a 5-star review on your podcasting venue of choice. Patreon, thank you again, of course. And if you want to support the show, head on over there, patreon.com/LegionOutriders. And I think that's everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you again, everybody. Take care. Have a great week. And we'll see you next episode.
This concludes the current episode of the Legion Outriders podcast. You may cultivate a tactical advantage by observing the Outriders on Facebook or Twitter at Legion Outriders. Wisdom advocates subscribing to the podcast. Acting otherwise is reckless.